Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today's Wednesday, May the 22nd. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. It's a delight to be here. We are honored and blessed once again to get to share with you the ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness as we learn, as we teach this process, and become aware more and more in our lives and in the world that we are the creators of our destiny, and that we have many more choices and a whole lot more power in the game than anybody has taught us, than anybody wants us to know. And in particular, we're working with the idea of removing those experiences that tend to haunt us from the past that are based in hostility and fear, so that we come forward with the true mind where we are created with, a mind of strength and a mind of power, rather than a mind of fear and a mind of weakness. And of course, if we get tricked into and trapped into thinking that our mind is that of weakness, then we'll function as though that's true until we come across the process of forgiveness. And those who would like to keep us in that weakened mind will teach us that forgiveness is about letting other people off the hook for what's happening inside of us, which is a total fraud. Forgiveness has nothing whatsoever to do with I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. Forgiveness, as it is taught in the ancient Aramaic, is the tool with which I change the content of my own mind. I remove the weakness, the sadness, the grief, the rage, the fear through the act of forgiveness. And as I do that, I return to the true mind I was designed to function with, which is a mind of strength and clarity and power. So that's what we're here to support learning. And we're so blessed to have this opportunity to spend an hour with you every day and to support you in that process. If you're new to the whole conversation about forgiveness, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner of the home page, actually of every page, you'll see a button that says Start Here. If you click on that button, it'll take you into a whole series of links that will explain the whole forgiveness process, including giving you at least 6 different radio shows where we've walked somebody through the process, so you've got a set of custom instructions on how to fill out the worksheet. So we're delighted that you're here to share with us. Jeannie, do we have Dr. Tim with us today? Is David with us?
They are both with us, and they're both on.
Well, let's say hello to these gentlemen. How do you gentlemen be today?
Doing well, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, good. Fabulous. Anything to share with us today?
Pardon me?
I say anything to share with us today?
No, I'm just eager to listen, see what's going on with the listening audience.
Awesome. And Dr. Tim, how do you be, sir?
I'm doing very, very well, thank you. We're having a lovely light rain day here in Illinois. We had our support group last night with 13 people plus me.
Fabulous.
We continued the theme from Course in Miracles. We watched A New Beginning, or the first part of it.
Right.
And then we had someone do a very effective worksheet, and we had some very nice discussion, and things are just rocking along, and it's just a pleasure to be part of the team. Yesterday, the theme that was in the work was hiding stuff in the unconscious, actively hiding it from myself, saying, oh, I'm going to work on that, and then 10 minutes later not being able to remember what it was I said I was going to work on. And so last night we were talking about the very simple technique in that lesson, A New Beginning, of deciding in the morning what kind of day I want to have, and then making the decision or making the choice to not make any decisions throughout the day by myself, to keep asking for help and guidance from something that's far larger and stronger and more loving than my 9-bit mind can be. And as may happen throughout the day, when I find myself experiencing something that's not exactly like what I wanted to experience, instead of deciding that I'm right and the world is wrong, I can just choose to give up my decision, and my process looks like saying, well, I guess I forgot what to decide. And then, well, I really don't like the feeling I'm in, so at least I can say, I really don't like how I'm feeling right now. And since I'm feeling it, I hope I'm wrong. It's a powerful little tool, and it was lighting people's minds up last night in the group. So,
as far as single lessons go, that one's one of my favorite lessons in the course. That's why we've got that one on video.
Do you also have What is the World on video?
No, actually, we've just been talking about, Rex is on the phone right now with someone, seeing if we can work out getting a good video made of that so that we can make that part of our DVD package. So, no, we don't have that one on DVD yet, but Rex is actually on the phone as we speak, working on that. So maybe he'll report to us when he gets onto the show. And, you know, when you started out talking about how we hide things from ourselves, it's always interesting when I go into denial and dissociate from something that the very thing that I'm denying and dissociating from, I now wear on my sleeve, and everybody in town knows it's there, except me. And I think that it's invisible to everybody else, but it's really just right out there in space and is what creates my experiences. So I always, life is designed to give us the opportunity to forgive what it is that we need to look at the most and be willing to let go of it. But it's such an amazing process. So amazing.
Well, Michael, you actually had asked, it's Rex. Hello, everyone.
Hey, sir.
I did talk to Paul at the church, and it looks like Raz or Steve Edwards are the people that might be able to accomplish that for us tonight. And being that it's short notice, it may not happen, but we're putting it out to see what does happen. So they're going to give me a call back.
Thank you. That's awesome. Cool. So we may have a DVD of The New Beginning, or pardon me, of the What is the World lesson, which I consider to be one of the most powerful, one of the most pivotal lessons in the course. And the propensity of this mind, once it goes into denial, to have a reality structure and an identity based in the drama, the trauma, the story, and I get all my attention by staying in my drama and my trauma and my story rather than getting over my drama, my trauma, and my story and getting on with being a true human being. And, of course, when the mind prompts us to stay in the story, in the trauma, in the drama, in the pain, in the, oh, my God, it's simply a mechanism to keep getting attention and to start to recognize that that's all it is, and there's nothing permanent about any traumatic or painful story. We will, if we carry a painful or traumatic story, tend to create circumstances that will resonate it and give us the opportunity to bring it to the surface. And the world we see will be made of all of that story and that drama and that trauma. And this lesson from the Course, what is the world, is, I think, in the Course in Miracles, one of the most misunderstood lessons of the Course. Because what happens is that people think that the world that they're trying to deal with is out there, when the truth is the only world that the Course is attempting to get us to forgive, to remove content from, is the one between our ears. But most people prefer the attention they get from their drama and their trauma instead of, okay, you gave me a tool, I'll use the tool, and now I'll walk out the other side of this and be done with it. And I'm willing to let go of the effects of what I've held as my drama and my trauma. I'm willing to change my creative process and move into a whole different game, which is the game where one can live in abundance and aliveness and joy and creativity and move forward as human beings were designed to. So that's what we're here to support, and it's an awesome opportunity to be with you in that regard. And so we were just talking with Rex's nephew, Justin. Is he by any chance on the phone? Is Justin with us, Rex?
Rex had to take another call, and I don't think Justin is on.
Ah, all right, cool. Well then, anything else to share, Dr. Tim? Any other thoughts for you?
Well, one thing came up last night in the group. Somebody wanted to know how I get other people to do worksheets when I know they need to do them.
Yes.
And I laughed,
and
too.
Did you give them the smoke and mirrors answer, I do worksheets then?
Well, I said, you know, I handed her a worksheet and said, you sound a little frustrated when people that you know need to do a worksheet won't do a worksheet, so you can do a worksheet on your frustration. And we talked
about
how the best use of her energy is to focus it on the only energy system she has direct access to, which is herself. And then in the middle of it, she asked me, okay, but why do you do this group? And we ended up finishing the conversation, and then we talked about, I get asked this a lot, why do I run a support group and donate my time to that on Tuesday nights, and why do I sit on the internet show 5 days a week? My answer is the same every time, and that is because if I didn't set it up so I had to do this work, I wouldn't do this work. And I need this work. Without it, my life is much more full of anger, fear, sadness, and frustration. And she had another question, and I said, the point is, I'm not doing this work or holding this group so other people will come to the group. I'm doing it because I need to do it. There have been times when no one else has showed up, and I stayed and watched a video and did worksheets. And there have been times when there's one or two other people show up, and we stay and watch the videos and do worksheets. And I had to point out to her that she was still caught up with her responses in, yes, but, you know, how, what, you need people here to do this, and you're doing it to help other people. And I said, no, literally, think about how frustrated I would be if my goal was to have the people, everybody who's ever been exposed to this for the past 7 years in my support group, if my goal was to have all of them be there. Because hardly any of them are still there. Some people come for a month or two. Some people come for half a year. Some people come for one or two sessions and have a powerful worksheet, and we never see them again. And if my goal was focused on getting them to do worksheets, I'd be one of the most unhappy, most frustrated people on the planet.
But right.
I think she finally started to get it.
Yeah, I know for me doing this work, and I can see myself, if there's a time period when I'm away from teaching, I can see the tendency for the old patterns to start to come in and creep in and become very convincing that I should believe in them. And so the beauty of teaching it is it's forced growth. You have to engage in the principle yourself. And, of course, when you say it often enough, I've found for me, I finally get to go, oh, yeah, maybe I should listen to that. So it's definitely a smoke and mirrors game. That is, I do it because I need it. And if the benefits accrue to others, wonderful. If other people want to come and play and we can share it on a planet-wide basis, awesome, because then it becomes simply an upward spiral, and it's pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. We just spent some time, as I was asking if Jason was on the phone. Or Justin pardon me, was on the phone.
He is. He's on with us now.
Oh. Hey there, good sir. How do you be?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Oh, cool. Well, I was just going to share a little bit about some of the discussions we've been having today. And so seeing as how you're here, maybe you'd open the window with how you got involved in this work and what's happening in your world as a result of it. Where have you come from? Where are you going? Where have you been? Tell us a little bit.
Sure. I'd be happy to. I came from a pretty traumatic past with a lot of violence, drug use, things of that nature, and I'd gotten involved and followed those patterns myself, and I got involved in doing the worksheet process about 2 months ago, and it's really just brought things into focus for me and allowed me opportunities to heal a lot of my pain and a lot of the traumas of my past. And it's been interesting since I've been back here in my hometown of Lansing, but I've had several opportunities to step back into those patterns as they've kind of brought themselves up around me. But as we talked about earlier, it's just really brought about an opportunity for me to continue to heal those things.
Awesome. Well, one of the most exciting things that you shared with me was what happened with your son when you started to talk with him about forgiveness, and maybe you'd share that story. That's pretty powerful and pretty inspiring.
Sure. We had gotten, he was watching Netflix since we had quit watching regular television, and he had gotten pretty upset and slammed the remote down because, the Netflix stopped working, and so I invited him to sit down and do one of the worksheets, and, he explained, we've walked him through the situation, and he felt really angry and frustrated, and, I asked him what the thought was behind his feelings, so he sat there, and we did the worksheet process, and, then we were all done with it. I asked him how he felt, and he said, I feel really good, Dad. And, it was a few days later, I was out on the back porch and I was processing some of the things that I was feeling, and I was doing a worksheet, and Caleb, who is 7 years old, he comes out on the porch and, how's it going, Dad? Oh, you're doing a worksheet? What seems to be the problem this time? So, I let him know what I was feeling and what my reality was, and kind of walked him through the worksheet that I had done. So it was just really tremendous to see the shift in him and to have an opportunity to show him a positive way to handle his feelings and to acknowledge his realities.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. What a gift to give to a young man of seven instead of the good old family game of anger and hostility and hiding from self through the use of alcohol and drugs. That's I mean, the change you've made in 2 months in your whole family story is so monumental, and, you know, already passing it on to the next generations. I'm just, you know, it warms my heart. When you were telling me about it, my skin was, you know, my hair was standing up on end. It's just like, you know, this is everything that we work to do, and we couldn't have a better reward than to hear what you're doing in your world, and we applaud you and appreciate you and acknowledge you for that. It's just monumental.
Well, thank you, and it's been just awesome to have such a wonderful support system behind the work. And, you know, in the past, my response would have looked something more like, I would have gotten upset myself and angry that he was upset, and I might have, you know, banged my fist on the table and said, you know, why are you so upset? And so it's just an amazing way to look at things differently and actually to be positive about dealing with our realities and our feelings.
So banging your fist on the table saying, why are you upset? I'm never upset. Why aren't you like me?
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing. Well, congratulations. It's inspiring to hear what you've done in 2 short months and the shift in the world that you're living in is just a reflection of it. And then to come back to the hometown that you got away from several years ago in order to get out of the wrong crowd and connecting with some of those folks who invite you right back into the old lifestyle, and for you to have the strength to say thank you very much, but I pass, and to be tempted with things that young men your age would normally just fall right into, and that you've got the strength of character to say thank you. But I'm doing something different now, bless you. And by the way, if you'd like, I'll share what's happening. So that's just so powerful and so awesome that I'm awed by what you're doing.
It is really cool, because for the first time, you know, in just a couple short months of actually taking responsibility and doing the work, I can say for the first time in my life that I actually love myself as a human being. And, you know, to get the opportunity to live as a human being is just tremendous. It's awesome, and, you know, and I can see the influence it's had on those around me, and it's just amazing.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate you doing what you're doing and being willing to share it with us, so that others who are in the similar posture can realize that it can be done. And, you know, if you're on the show and you're listening, and, you know, I hear from a lot of parents whose kids are involved in alcohol and drugs and just crazy behaviors, and this will be a good show to mark the date for them and get your kids to listen that there's another way to do it. There's another life that's possible. And that's the true life of a human being, where this awesome presence of love governs our relationships with our spouses, our parents, our children, the people around us. And the response to a child is the guidance of a true man who says, here, son, here's something we can do about this, rather than the weak man who has to, as you say, pound his fist on the table to assert his authority because of his own self-image and his own self-understanding. So it's just, it's everything we live to hear, my friend. So thank you.
You're welcome, and I'll be happy to call in from time to time and just touch base and keep giving you updates on the great things that are happening in my world.
Please do. Thank you. And are there any questions or thoughts that you'd like to share before we complete this conversation?
There's nothing coming to mind.
I did want to say something,
awesome.
Michael.
Yes, please, Rex. Go for it.
Justin, being my nephew, I've watched him since he was very young, as a young child. And just being able to see him as a person, and having gone through such a difficult childhood, as a young man, we were sitting at lunch today, and I was just looking at him, and I just saw this beautiful being. And I see this beautiful being reemerging, was my experience in the moment. And it brought back memories of, you know, when he was a child. And then I realized, this is a long time ago, it's 24 years ago, and that I was a much different person. I was very self-centered, and I got to see some of my own pain surface as a result of the light and the love that he was presencing in the moment. And just beautiful, and it coincides with the conversation you were having with Dr. Tim about, you know, how we have a tendency to hide. And, you know, one of the thoughts that came to mind is quite often people will say, when I'm talking with them, they'll say, gosh, I'm having this and this and this happen. I said, well, it sounds like you've got a goal, blah, 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 or let's do this. Yeah, I'll have to do that. And I go, well, gosh, there's no better time in the present moment, you know. And so I take my own advice. And so when that came up at lunch, a very wonderful support system with Justin sitting across me and Michael sitting next to me, and I had all this percolate up into me and immediately went in and started, you know, doing the worksheet process in my mind. And I didn't have one in my hand, but I've been doing it for quite a while, so I got it down pretty good and just automatically started doing it, got the goal, canceled the goal, identified what it was, released the energy. In a matter of 5 minutes, I was back to a place of feeling the love and the joy that I truly am. And that, the reason I'm saying that for all of us is that it's so valuable to get a repetition on it, repetition, 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 so that when it does happen, I mean, literally my breath, I felt my breath was taken away from me in that moment. It wasn't. It was me, but it's what it felt like. And so I just breathed into that feeling, and it wasn't easy. And had I not done a fair amount of work to get to that place of repetition, I might have just gone into holding my breath and say, yeah, I don't need to do this. I don't want to, you know, infringe on their space. And any number of different excuses I may have come up with. But the fact is, I knew it was up, and the best time to address it is when it's up. And if I do it right then and breathe, and then if I have the presence of mind to identify the goal, and Michael, you helped with that in that moment because I had canceled a few goals to move some of the energy, and then Michael helps with guiding me a little bit on the wording, and I went, boom, went right into it and cleared it and just felt perfectly beautiful again. And I just, that is so valuable to recognize, and those of us that appear to be new to it, I mean, Justin's a beaming example, and Michael, you used the word odd. That is exactly what my experience was looking at him. I felt odd. I felt honored and odd to be sitting across from him, you know, and just being in a relationship with him. And I think that's a really valuable component for all of us to have in every moment. If we don't have it, get to forgiving, you know, get to moving the energy. And on the piece on the video, just to complete that, and then I'll go back on mute here, with the short notice, combined with neither of the people that we did contact, Raz or Steve, actually have video equipment. They have sound equipment, but they don't do video.
Yeah, that's
so
okay.
So the combination, it doesn't look like it's going to happen tonight.
All right.
So I just thought I'd update
on
that.
Thanks for the effort and trying. Yeah, cool.
So
by the way, for those who are... Go ahead, Rex.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say I'm going to mute so I can listen in, and I'll chime in if I see there might be something to share.
Cool. So just for information's sake, for those who are in the Lansing, Michigan area, we are at Unity of Lansing for the next 3 nights. Tonight we're doing a lesson from A Course in Miracles, what I consider to be one of the most important and the most misunderstood lessons in the course, called What is the World? Tomorrow night we're going to do Codependence to Interdependence. And then on Friday night, Laws of Living. So we invite you to join us for free open workshops. On Saturday, we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. So there's a full-day workshop. It is the one workshop that when we travel, we charge a fee for. But other than that, the next 3 nights are free open workshops. And if you're in Lansing, Michigan area, we'd be delighted to have you come and join us. And beyond that, Jeannie, do we have any other callers? Is Mark with us? I know that the last couple of days Mark has tried to get on and the window hasn't been open. Is he with us by chance?
He is with us and he's on.
Hey. Well, let's say hello to Mark. Hey, we finally get to hear your sweet voice. My apology. The last couple of days, been really pretty intense and some really nice energy moving. So how do you be, sir?
They were absolutely awesome, and I was right there with Peter and Sonny and processing and supporting, and it was terrific. And one of the things that came up, it was a question that when Peter was bringing up the law in Sweden, I just had the thought about what you teach in the intensive about detaching, and you actually have a technique with the pencils and stuff, and I was hoping that you could remind me of the of that approach and what the intention of it is and whether it could be utilized for something like that, that, you know, hey, we've got this law or this belief in our land, or, you know, in my life or our lives, we have
right,
these
the culture
beliefs.
Right.
Can we just detach from those completely by utilizing that approach?
Yes. Yeah, you can actually, anything that tends to pull at emotional strings that keep us in hostility and fear-based patterns can be detached from using that tool. And I've seen it just do awesome things in people's lives. And in fact, you know, if, and I don't know if Peter happens to be on the show, but if he is, then, you know, we could do that. Or if anybody who's on the show has a person or a situation in your life where you, every time you turn toward that person or that situation, you have a lot of emotional reactions, then we can just, it's a very simple process. It's like, and many people say, well, how could that have an effect? Well, don't believe that it has effects. Just try it and see what happens. But it makes some amazing changes. It's something we can do in just a minute and a half or 2 minutes. So anybody who's got an object of attention, a person, a situation in your life where you have some sort of emotional attachment, then let's do the exercise then.
Awesome. I'll admit, I know you mentioned you're not supposed to do it like repeatedly, but this is I half attempted it on my own yesterday, but it's for the same topic.
Right.
I've been going layer through layer through layer, and what I decided that it would be useful to detach from is myself.
Mm-hmm. Your emotional attachments to yourself?
Yes.
Yeah, good. That's perfect. So then let's take the whole listening audience through it. So if you've got something that keeps you in some kind of emotional turmoil, whatever that object of attention is, we're going to start out, and what you want to do is focus your awareness in what I call the seat of the unconscious. And I'm going to use, you know, there was a mention of the pencils. I'm going to use the pencils as a guide to take your awareness to that place. And so this is the place that you can center awareness. And when you ask Rukka, and we'll bring what we call in what's called in Aramaic Rukka Dukudja into the process. And just to explain before we actually step into it, what that is for someone who might be new. In the ancient Aramaic, there was the understanding that the conscious ability to process things is so minuscule compared to some of the generational content, some of the genetic content that is so huge in us that we can never do it on our own. You know, there just isn't. It's like having a computer and there just isn't enough processing power. You know, you've maybe read in the paper a story about, gee, they had this big, you know, calculation that they needed to do. So what they did is they got all the universities to link their computers together and used all of that computing power to do that particular calculation. And it took that many clock cycles in computers to make it happen. One computer on its own just couldn't process that much information. Well, it's kind of the same thing, is that our human minds are very limited in their processing capacity. And so what Yeshua taught 2,000 years ago, that inside of each of us, there was a literal feminine elemental force. And that elemental force was specifically designed for humans. And by definition, being feminine, it was she who, when invited into activity, would undo the effects of our errors and teach us the truth. The words by the Greeks were translated as the Holy Spirit. There's no justification in translating those words as something about a disembodied spirit being. It simply speaks of a literal elemental force that, when you invite it to go to work, will move things in you on a level that you don't have the processing capacity to reach. You might call it, in our language, the super processor. So when I ask you to invite Rukka, and I'll just short form it in Aramaic, it's Rukka Dekutcha. When I ask you to invite Rukka in, we'll just ask you to use that term or whatever fits for you as a visualization, asking that power to go to work. And so the first step in the process is to just think about the situation that you want to release emotional attachments to. It might be to a child, to a loved one, to someone who's passed, to a situation with pain in it. And so just allow yourself to choose what it is that you're going to work on. And then, closing your eyes and being centered inside, imagine that I have two sharpened pencils. One of them I'm going to insert right through the center of the forehead. So it would be going right into the center of the brain. The other one I'm going to insert down through the top of your head, right through the top center of your head, the top of the crown. The point where those two pencil tips meet is the seat of the unconscious. It's the place that, when you focus and do this release process, will tend to cut the emotional attachment. It doesn't end the relationship. It doesn't throw the relationship out of your life. What it does is it cuts the emotional strings that are energetically locked up in you around whatever that situation is. And so, if you would, we'll ask you to just imagine I'm inserting a pencil in your forehead. I'm inserting a second pencil through the top of your crown. And I'm going to give you just a moment to imagine where those two pencil tips would meet and allow your awareness to be settled there. So we'll just take a moment for you to do that. And make sure that as you do center there, you're breathing. And then allow an image of the person or the situation that you want to release to come forward. So maintaining your awareness at that point where the two pencil tips meet. Allow an image of that person to come forward. Then once you're centered there and that image is present, then you're going to speak to that elemental force, Rukka. And just invite her to go to work. Rukka, I release all attachment to, and then name whatever the object of attention is or the person. I release all attachment to. And just breathe. And kind of be aware of what's happening inside of you. For me, as I'm doing this, I'm seeing with my eyes closed, I'm seeing this like a purple mound of energy that's rising up from inside the center of my head. And it's almost moving in waves. So just be aware of the subtle energy changes that are happening in you. Pay attention to what happens in your hands. In your head. So, Mark, what's happening for you?
Well, I was feeling a lot of tingling, a little bit of a burning sensation almost, and then tingling. And I wasn't aware of it until you mentioned the word waves, but that's kind of the wave of energy. Fix it real well, and then my head kind of turned off to the left and down a bit. and I still feel just an energy up in that crown area. It's almost like an energy rising up from that point in the center up through the crown. It's like the word that comes up in my is burning off, like it's a burning off of something.
Cool. And oftentimes where there's an energy that perhaps has been physically impacted, you know, when you look at the bony structure of the body, of the so-called body, what we have is an energy system, and every antenna determines frequencies it receives. And it sounds like your structure intuitively shifted into a posture. The shape of an antenna determines what energies can move within a system, either being received or being released. And so I've oftentimes watched people who intuitively, their bodies just move into that posture where that release can occur, where they go back, you know, to the shape, you know, the shape of the antenna. If you've got a television antenna on the roof and somebody goes up and bends all the arms, it's the wrong shape. You're not going to get any decent TV reception. You have to restore it to its shape. And oftentimes if an energy is impacted where we're in a certain posture, in order to fully release, the structure has to return to that posture to open the field to allow that to happen. So it sounds like that's probably what was going on for you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and as you're talking, the head then lifted up and then back. It's kind of leaning back in my car, so it's leaning back against my headrest. I kind of tilted up so my eyes are facing the top of the car. It's just kind of another, feels like it just, after the burning off ended, that's kind of what happened. And images showed up, by the way, of not just my face, but other faces started showing up too. And I wasn't calling upon them; they just showed up early on in the process.
Cool. People who've particularly impacted you?
No, for me, they're faces that reflect. A lot of generational healing has happened, faces that reflect generations from, like, a long time ago.
So your sense was those generations, not necessarily faces of people that you know currently.
Correct.
That's awesome. Very cool. Yeah, well, this is what's called praying for the dearly departed. When we open that space, we literally, you know, for people who aren't in their bodies, can open that energy window for the release to happen in the and check for them. So that's awesome. Thank you for asking that question.
Yeah, thanks for taking us through. That was awesome. Appreciate it.
Cool. Well, it'll be interesting to hear the unfolding saga, because oftentimes once one does that, the shifts and changes that occur are pretty monumental.
Well, and that raises,
especially for such a simple process.
And I've experienced that before, because I had, at the intensive, we had done this, and I remember it being really powerful, so I'm excited to participate in it with you again. And I know you had mentioned, you know, this isn't something you do every 5 minutes or every couple days even. What's your rule of thumb on that? You may have said it, but I didn't hear it.
Yeah, well, the idea being that when you really do center there and ask for that release, there is can be a major unwinding and undoing of things that, as you've just, you know, confirmed, are generational. And when you undo something on that level, it's a good idea to give your structure the support that it needs, and sometimes the support is going to look like just taking some time to rest, to drink water, to flush the system, and to make sure that you stay on track with, you know, decent food habits and such, so that your structure can process what needs to be processed. And then it's almost like, my sense of it is that it's like a rewiring that occurs, and the rewiring takes some time. And so what I usually suggest is that you give it, you know, up to at least a week before you go on to another topic. And so leave that time in between, because when you do those ones that go to depth, it takes time for the structure to rewire itself. It's kind of like in a still point breathing session. I've seen people who open things in a still point breathing session, literally 2 and 3 months later, they're still processing from that one session. And so just to give the rationale being just to give yourself time to do whatever release has to take place and the restructuring to occur, the rewiring, so to speak, give it time to occur rather than trying to rush it.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I'm going to go back on mute because I've got to run into a place here and it's going to be a little bit noisy. But
thank you
very much.
Okay, you're appreciated. Blessings. Lots of love.
Okay, we have two more callers. The next one is area code 765. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Sunny from Indiana.
Hey there, young lady. How are you doing? That was a nice piece of work you did yesterday. And I was glad to hear that after we checked in with you that you had those two signs of a complete release. I need to pee and I need to eat. They're often very good signs. I'm
really very hungry. And just to give the example, it's like I kind of texted Rex a bit of a joke. Was that a breakdown or a breakthrough? Haha. But in the middle of it, to have to pee when you're just, you know, like you're literally face down on the floor and just rolled with whatever I was guided to do, but just allow that crying and just constant, just whatever it was. And to be honest with you, if it serves anyone else, I don't even really remember a lot of it or a lot of what it was. Right, and that's where the whole figuring it out thing, I think a lot of us kind of might step in and out of that. But I just want to really thank everyone. And there's the meridian thing, Dr. Tim. I hope I have the right postures and positioning, because a friend came in from Indianapolis last night that does a lot of the oneness work. We've got a thing in the top of my left leg that is like not a muscle. There's nothing there. He does massage. It's just a meridian line in the top of my left leg. And then, you know, just the points of physical symptoms or what have you, it's all on the female side of the body, interestingly enough. And just kind of processing through some of that. And then you had mentioned, I heard the word attack, and I know attack is not possible, so I'm kind of processing some of my worksheets through that. And just the last statement that you made to the other callers, kind of sorry he's not on there right now to allow me to thank him, because I think you just kind of answered a lot of my questions of allowing myself to process the rest of this. And I don't know how great an emphasis there should be right now for further worksheets except for to just maybe take some notes. Perhaps? Is that what you would suggest, Michael?
I would, you know, oftentimes when you go through a major piece like you went through yesterday, and the reason why the need to pee is because what you're doing is opening elimination, and the body says, okay, I need to usher this out of here. I need to get this out of here. And so that's pretty standard when you're doing really effective release work is, well, gee, I've hardly drank anything. Where did all this come from? It comes from the fact that you've given your cells permission to let go of what they've been holding on to. And so that's perfect. And sometimes when you do something like that, it's has behind it the Hydra effect, which I think you've heard us speak of on the show, the Greek mythological creature called the Hydra. And when you cut off her head, you know, a dozen other heads appear. And so to keep the process moving, you just be in gentle, subtle awareness of yourself, and you just watch, and if other layers, other aspects, other kind of, you know, tentacles come up, that's where you just, okay, there's my next worksheet. Ah, there's where that one is. And as an example for that one, you know, many of you have heard Magda on the show quite often, and I believe on the links under Start Here in the whyagain.org site, the second radio show, if I remember correctly, and I think they're labeled, but the second radio show is the one where Magda called in, and she was doing a worksheet on an issue in her household, on herself, and by the time we finished the show, she had 14 worksheets to do. And I'll just share that when I do worksheets, I always keep a stack of at least a dozen blanks so that if I'm in touch and I'm in the middle of a worksheet and I'm in subtle awareness of what's going on inside of me, oftentimes I'll be shown all kinds of things that relate to this. And so I might, in one situation, I might get in touch with a goal. You know, I'm working on this goal for this worksheet here, and all of a sudden I might just become aware of a place elsewhere in my life where a goal has been a problem, has created a problem. And so I'll flip to another blank worksheet. I'll just fill in that goal and the name of the object of attention that I'm aware of that's around that goal. I'll go back to my primary worksheet. I'm working through that, going through it, and I might become aware of, you know, as I get to number 1C, I've got these feelings of anger and sadness, and all of a sudden I get this insight that, wow, this is the same kind of sadness that I remember having when, you know, maybe that childhood first love relationship broke up. And so I'll flip to another worksheet, object of attention, you know, being a child in love and, you know, that relationship breaking up and my grief around it. So these things, you know, anything that shows up on, in conscious awareness as appearing to be the cause of what's going on usually stands on the unconscious dynamics that are underneath. And the Aramaic language is the only language I know of that has a specific language structure to indicate those unconscious dynamics and their effects. And when you add the suffix uta, O-O-T-A, to a particular word, the word that you're adding that suffix to, it indicates that that particular dynamic is resonating in the mind at an unconscious level, and it's impacting perception and behavior. So as I do worksheets and I let myself become aware of those, so to speak, uta brain cells, the content of those, that's where I can click in and I can get just a lot of gold out of one worksheet if I've got that dozen, you know, blank ones there, and I just fill in whatever pieces I'm aware of, go back to my primary worksheet and keep working there. I find that, you know, I just don't seem to run out of worksheets to do that way. So that would be my suggestion is, yes, continue doing it and keep a bunch of blanks right there.
Okay. I was just allowing the resting point. And there is a topic that was the time for the show and for everyone that has come up between just simply, you know, it was opinion of my teacher that said that this was putting myself through an undo process, that I ought to be able to just put it on the cross. And he brings up his constant belief in a devil trying to steal my goods and that I ought to just be able to put it on the cross and it's all okay. And I'm like, I love you, I honor you, and I'm where I'm at right now. And I'm just going through my little thing. But I would appreciate if you could, you know, if you had a moment with me at some point to rest with that. But, yeah, and
well, my input would be exactly what Gandhi said, and that is the only devil you need to be concerned about is the one running around in your own heart. And it's made of that hydra. It's made of that hydra. It's the content of your own carbon-based memory. You know, when you recognize that these memories of past generations, these genes, are stored in this carbon-based device called a body-mind unit, that it's literally a multi-generational database. And that database made up of carbon, if you look at its number, if you look at the atomic number of carbon, it's 666, six electrons, six protons, six neutrons. So you don't have to be concerned about some devil out there with the red suited tail and a pitchfork. The one to be concerned about is the one inside of you that's in your own carbon-based memory that can rob you of your awareness that you were created by the Creator to function as the active presence of love. And forgiveness will dissolve that devil in seconds. All you have to do is be willing to let go of it. So that would be my input on that one.
Okay. Well, it's like, you know, it's just so beautiful how, like, yesterday, I just, you know, it started 2 days ago with Peter of understanding
right.
the cancer the goal thing, and then I had no idea mm-hmm. what I was stepping with you yesterday. And then
that's cool.
Being consciously aware of releasing the generational stuff, but meanwhile, as we're functioning in the body, we do get angry or frustrated about, you know, we're not getting, you know, here I thought I was talking about my financial crap, you know, and it's
yep.
attached to these other things. And so it's maintaining the worksheets process through our reaction or responses to whatever's going on, and then without it being a denial thing, it's, yeah, I'm realizing more and more how this, my life's not working, not so much by any sense of failure of my own accord. It's this crap running in the background of these perfect DNA computers that we are that is a virus in my program. It's my generation
That's it.
Working against me. And I hope that clarification helps anyone out there. And I just cannot thank you enough. I am
all right.
So
well, we're delighted to be on the team. Carry forward.
Thank you.
All right,
wish
blessings. Take
there.
Care. Bye-bye.
Hey, Michael, I did have
okay,
a thought
well,
to share.
Go ahead, Rex.
Sonny, just a huge shift in your whole demeanor and your communication and your, you know, this a tendency we all have, if we aren't checking it, is to get into a story. And just listening to how you communicated, and it's just a testament to you doing your inner work, and I just acknowledge it. And I that was it. I just wanted to say it real quick, and just that you're doing good work. Stay with the breath. Stay with the conscious. Do the forgiveness, because you're moving generational stuff, and it's just beautiful. That was it.
I thank you, Rex.
Cool.
I don't know if you still hear me. Can you still hear me at all?
We can.
Okay.
Sure.
Dr. Tim, like you were saying earlier on, of the maintenance, and without my story, I just want to attest to you that, yes, Dr. Tim, I didn't do what you are doing years ago, and I let go, and you get one trauma, one instance in your life, and then you'll end up in the spot I've been in, and you got to kind of start over, and it's just hold on to all of whatever you meet with is the naysayers in your life. Just do your work. Do your work, do your work, and don't ever let go of any degree of progress that you've ever made, and just maintain it every day. And that's why I'm so grateful that you guys are here on the radio show every day.
All right. Delighted to be on the team. Thank you. Blessings. All right, Jeannie, you've got another caller for us, sweetie?
I do. We're down to about 2 minutes, though, but I think this is Carrie. 970, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Good. 2 minutes is all I need. Carrie, formerly from Colorado, currently from Florida.
All right.
Michael, you have your own version of Herring's Law of Cure. I think that has one extra
yes.
line in it. Inside out, head
yes.
down, reverse order from which symptoms occurred, and?
Right. Ameliorated.
Would you mind sharing?
Sure, of course. Ameliorated by the level of vitality. In other words, if I have, if I'm at a level 5 vitality, I can't process a level 7 toxin. If I'm only at a level 5 vitality, and I have that level 7 toxin, and it's in a place where Herring's Law of Cure would say, oh, well, this is what I'm going to process through next, I'm going to skip over that until I've got the vitality to handle it.
Awesome.
Is that the piece you were looking for?
That's exactly what I was looking for, and I'm going to use it. So the book is going awesome, 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 awesome. I'm so excited. So.
Well, we look forward to seeing it when it's complete. That's fabulous.
You will. All right,
all
cool.
Right.
Thank you so much. Great show. Really enjoying everything. Be blessed.
Okay, blessings. Thank you. And everybody, we appreciate you being with us. If you're in Lansing, remember the next 3 nights, Unity of Lansing, we're here. And create the best year yet of your eternal life. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
AGAIN.com.